body of former President George Herbert Walker Bush is now being moved into the Capitol, where it will lie in state for the next number of hours before there's a funeral in Washington. Mark McKinnon joins us right now, friend of the program. You know him from the circus on Showtime, but a long time servant, if you will, of the Bushes. He worked for George W. Bush. He knew H.W. or 41, as he's better known. And what we're seeing here is an outpouring of respect for a former president of the United States. Generally, one-term presidents don't get this kind of send-off, but he is a really important American historical figure. Mark?
He is, indeed. Hi, everybody. Hi. Yeah, it's great to see this outpouring of affection for a great public servant. I mean, this was in his chromosomes to serve, and he has been, you know, one of the most sterling resumes in American politics. And, it really feels like an era gone by. An era's passing of course, literally it is passing, because it's the last of the World War II and great war presidents. So, but it's not just the passing of a generation, it's the passing of an approach to politics, a gentility and a kinder, gentler politics that we used to know. And I think that everybody's reflecting on that a lot right now. And but he had a hell of a ride, and it's a great story, a great love story with him and Barbara, and a great family story. So we're all sad to see him go, but you know, he's 94 and jumping out of airplanes just a couple of years ago. So
how about it? You know, the thing that struck me, I lived in Houston really early in my career. I was a reporter and anchor there, and I remember I was so excited that there was a former president who lived there, and I expected to see the Bush, Barbara, and George out a lot. And the thing that always struck me is that, you know, they could have owned the town in terms of being at every major gala and unveiling everything, and they chose to live with their family, and they were involved in certain civic things that they were really close to their heart, like literacy for Barbara, and they would show up infrequently, but make a presence and a contribution when they could. And I just find that so fascinating, their commitment to their family, their commitment to sort of living this life of civic duty beyond that, but staying as much as it could out of the spotlight.
Yeah, they did. And family was always first for him and for them. And there was a great story about when they were living in the vice president's house in Washington, and young Barbara Bush was staying at the house, and she had a stuffed animal and she'd gone to bed and then realized as H.W. was putting her to bed that she'd lost her animal, the stuffed animal. And so he went out with his flashlight with the Secret Service on the ground, searching for about 3 hours for the stuffed animal. And the reason that that's a particularly poignant story is that the next day he had one of the largest, biggest debates of his life. And so he was doing this instead of doing debate prep.
How great is that?
That is an amazing thing. And, you know, you mentioned World War II. The presidents and the leaders who went through World War II in a real way, you know, were actually in combat zones, dealt with Bob Dole and George H.W. Bush come to mind immediately. They dealt with their take on foreign policy very differently than those who came before them that were either World War I era or World War I vets, because, you know, the participation of the United States in World War I was much smaller than it was in World War II. I mean, infinitely
right.
smaller. And so that generation, you know, often called the greatest generation, but those who really touched the war and saw it for what it was, were very deliberate about what they did, unlike people that came in afterwards, you know, save John McCain because of what he saw in Vietnam. You worry about people forgetting the lessons that we learned in the middle part of the 20th century, all over the world, not just here, but all over the world, and treating this world very differently and more cavalierly, not understanding the principle of the sanctity of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a great point, that because of those, you know, the importance of all those geopolitical relationships that they experienced through that period, they understood the importance of those alliances and keeping you know, the glue that binds them together. But I'm also reminded of, you know, the story when he was shot down. And, you know, he survived, but his two plane mates did not. And he said there was not a day in his life that he didn't think about those two. You know, so that stuck with him too.
Yeah,
I bet.
Mark, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, sir.
Yeah. It's good to talk to you all, and we'll all be thinking about him all week and thinking about his dog Sully there in front of the.
Oh my God! I mean, the whole nation has seen that picture now.
I know.
And if you are not human, if it doesn't bring a tear to your eye.
Because yeah, the dog knows, picture. Right?
It's just,
God bless you guys.
You,
bless
too. You too.
Happy holidays.
Thank you, Mark.
You too.
All right, let's check in with Judy Pilak in 2 minutes.